Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. Joining me by phone, we have Ashley Hoffberger. She is the commissioner for District 4. That's the eastern half of the city of Pensacola, a little bit north of there, and then also all of the beach in Pensacola Beach. Commissioner, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Before we do any of the important stuff, how did you eat yesterday at Men Who Cook, and who had the best dish?
Oh, it was so good. So I think my favorite dish, of course, yours was phenomenal. The bites were amazing.
No, you don't. I was just joking. You don't have to answer. It's like fine. Everything's good. It's a great event. It was good to see you yesterday.
I love it.
And the Pace Center is such a great organization. All right, let's before we get into some of the like design questions around the Pensacola Beach welcome sign, let's just sort of clear the air with a couple of the quick facts. First thing, the roughly $700,000 to tear down the existing toll booth and put up some kind of a toll system, somewhere in the order of $1.5 million if that new toll system involves a decorative sign or arch or something along those lines. Is that basically right?
Correct.
Okay.
And the slideshow that I just sent over has some of that breakdown if you want to share that with the viewers.
Great. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I had shared some of it earlier in the day, but And there's also additional elements of this, like fiber optic and restriping and better lighting and landscaping. So the total cost of the project, which is being provided in a bunch of different forms, is not all focused on just the one sign. It's really that $1.5 million. Second question, and this is just to make sure, because if having read the 400 or so comments on our Facebook page, a lot of people didn't get this. Tear down the old toll booth means install a new toll collection mechanism. We're not getting rid of the toll, right?
Correct. Great question. So the facade, and everyone was talking about, oh, well, we don't need a sign. We need something to cover up the tolling equipment. Otherwise, it's a very industrial look, and it almost looks like a Kinect set with cameras. So, obviously,
right.
We don't want that as our welcome to Pensacola Beach. Thanks for coming. So, adding some sort of artistic feature to that was the goal, not necessarily alerting people that they're at Pensacola Beach.
Right, and that's, you know, if you've ever seen how FDOT does notification signs, it's that big garish steel piping kind of, like you said, Kinect set look, and we don't want that. We definitely don't want that. The third question is, and again, this is just kind of because I know people have these questions, just to make sure we clear the air. How did the Innisfree logo become the preferred design?
So that's interesting. The Innisfree logo is actually a yellow sunset against a orange ombre sky. The logo that is being used is from a website that Innisfree owns, PensacolaBeach.com. So in the Wayback Time Machine, Innisfree had requested that Visit Pensacola buy PensacolaBeach.com and use it to market Pensacola Beach. At the time, Visit Pensacola said, no, we're not going to do that. So Innisfree picked up the website, purchased it, and used it to market Pensacola Beach and highlighting their properties. So when you log on to PensacolaBeach.com, unless you know specifically what properties Innisfree owns, which obviously us as a community, most of us know that. If we didn't prior to a week ago, we probably all know that now. But from the outside looking in, that website is very generic, and it almost looks municipality-owned or chamber-ran, something of that nature. So I believe what happened was whoever was designing this came across that website, and from a marketing perspective thought, yes, let's keep everything cohesive. Let's put in the Pensacola Beach logo, let's throw that on there. Let's make it all look the same for branding purposes. Obviously, when everything kind of came to, Innisfree owns the website. The logo is part of, you know, the Innisfree Corporation, not necessarily the Innisfree logo. So once we found that out, we're back at the drawing board to make sure that we provide differentiation between the website, Visit Pensacola or PensacolaBeach.com, and the actual sign itself. So we do want something that is inclusive and iconic and timeless, not something that is tied to a website that is privately owned.
Perfect, and I agree with that. And okay, so last, just kind of getting the facts out question. Honestly, I hate to ask this one, but I know people have asked this, and I'm just going to ask. The color of the sign, that kind of dark teal, is very similar to the color of the washroom, a business you own. Would you care to address the similarity in the color?
Oh, I like teal until it's beachy. I had a retro camper and it was also teal. So I'm just a fan of teal. I didn't even think about it going with the washroom. So that is an interesting perspective. I will say some of the feedback that we go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So I didn't even think about that.
It was one of those questions that some people had asked, and I thought, well, you know, this is the way people get when they're in a contrarian frame of mind. You know what I'm saying? They'll find anything to hang their opposition
on. They'll find anything. Yeah, I think that, if you look at the beach and the water and the waves, a lot of that is teal. Like, teal is just a very beachy color.
Right.
Some of the feedback that we received that we're working on putting into the sign was it does need more color. Maybe it needs a pop of orange. Specifically, somebody said sherbet orange. I'm thinking, okay, well, that really goes. So we are working on a rendering that has a little bit more color. It also has the letters beach bigger. So
more prominent, yeah.
Beach would be the same size. Yeah, so great feedback that we received. And we're actually hoping to have an updated rendering out this week. Someone also recommended kind of tying it to the beach ball colors and then the sign at the foot of the bridge going to Pensacola Beach, the Pensacola Beach sign, and making it more like that, which I love that. We just have to be careful because those are very primary colors for it not to look like a kindergarten classroom.
Right.
So the question is, how do we keep it looking good and bright and tying to those without it looking too elementary? So we are working on that.
So Commissioner Hofberger, the question that I hear a lot and that I read on our Facebook page a lot is, why didn't we have public input? Why don't we go through a process of submissions, selections, top three? It doesn't necessarily have to have public voting, but it should have something where we can really look at the alternatives and say, we've picked something that we love, whether that's a green base. Maybe it would have turtles on it. Maybe it would have dolphins on it. Maybe it would have, you know, turtle style amber lighting at night for accent, but similar to the turtle friendly. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities. But why not a process that we would go through? Might take a little while, might take a month or two, instead of the, well, you know, the commissioner's going to pick and we're going to do what we do.
Great question. So, and this was one of those things, we decided to make a decision with the general design and move forward and then allow people to email us their comments, email us their input. If we would have done an actual public meeting, there's several notices that you have to go through. Those have to be ran a certain way, and it would have actually pushed us because we only want to do physical work on the project in the off season, obviously, because you don't want to be driving to the beach 4th of July weekend. And, you know, we've got lane closures. That's not good for anybody. So with those timelines, having an actual meeting or two would have pushed it to where it wouldn't have been completed by summer of 2026. It also makes it very hard for families who are working or single parents or maybe people who are holding down two jobs to go to those meetings. So we felt as though allowing people to comment on Facebook, us evaluate those, or send us, like we requested through several media outlets, to email us your comments, it allowed more people in the community to be more involved. So we really want to, and it, you know, it's using technology, right? Like, so email us your comments. We've got a record of all of that. I've responded to you. Every email personally that has came in, whether it's a friendly email or a not friendly email. So I really do want people to know that we are paying attention to those. And then as far as putting it out to local artists, we have so many talented folks in the area. Part of that was we do have to go through a RFP process. And so we do have to be careful how we select those. There are certain state statutes and things that govern that. Obviously, anybody that submits something, they have to be compensated for that. And so that part gets a little hairy when you're a municipality trying to solicit design work.
Well, so here's my suggestion, okay? You know, obviously, you're the commissioner. You were elected. My suggestion would be I can live with it taking an extra year. I mean, I want the thing to be done. I want it to be cost-effective. But this is going to be a 50-year project in the sense that we're going to still be looking at this in 50 years. And so we want something that's really amazing. And if that takes pushing it back to being completed by summer of 2027, I can live with that rather than having something that we don't all love. And to me, the best way to get something that we do love and that we do all believe in and that the community feels like they bought into is let's do a submission process. You know, the city did this very effectively with the Pelican sign. We got an amazing thing there. And so that seems to be the way.
It's interesting you bring that up because the Pelican sign, I love it. It's beautiful. I think it's iconic. I think it's going to be a great fixture to tie Pensacola Beach to the bridge and to downtown and really make that a beautiful corridor. But there are still people who hate that sign or they think that was a bad decision or that was a dumb location. obviously that's not me. I just said it was a great piece. But with design work and art in general is very subjective to whoever is viewing it. And, you know, if you can barely agree on the house color, or color to paint your house with your wife or yourself,
of
right?
Course.
So the idea that the whole community isn't going to agree on one thing and think that, okay, this is absolutely the best and 100% of us agree is, I don't think that's a very practical idea.
Okay, so it sounds to me like you're still opposed to having any kind of a submission process. It's really still going to be you guys picking?
So we are, like I said, we are asking people to email us your suggestions, email us your recommendations. And then I know P&J just ran an article. This is going to be a two-part process. So I have a meeting today to see exactly what those two parts are. So I don't know if that's going to be more around the end product and the design of the arch itself, or if it's going to be the landscaping. So some of that will be coming. But again, if you have ideas, send them in. I've had people say, hey, this is, you know, we should do Pelican perches on the side, and this is what it would look like. And they sent me an AI rendering. So absolutely send those in. So just because we don't have pictures from you to pick from doesn't mean that we're not open to suggestions and recommendations, because we 100% are.
And if artists want to submit something, same thing. And this would be what, District 4, the number 4 at MayaScambi.com?
Absolutely. And like I said, I have responded to all of those emails personally, and it is District4@MayaScambi.com.
Very good. The other thing that I wanted to talk with you briefly about was the $25 million plan to put turf on the 9 Mile ball fields in the effort of generating tourism by being able to host tournaments. We had a very involved discussion about this the other day. I was surprised because I don't really know mm-hmm. this topic all that well. I coached one kickball here, t-ball there kind of thing. But my producer, who coached for 10 years, his kids and Little League and other people texted and said they are not believers in turf. They don't believe this will be the miracle tourism draw. They host ball games at Para in Santa Rosa County that has regular fields. And they say instead we could spend a lot less money if we could just improve drainage, improve amenities, and, you know, maybe do some sodding or something like that for a much lower price tag, given that $25 million is a lot of money and is really just a swag at this point, right? Like, that's just, they measured the fields and they did a rough math. They didn't do an RFP or anything, so we don't really know that it's going to be $25 million. And also concerns about safety that, you know, even though some people love turf, some people really can't stand turf, the heat in the summer, it's very difficult to plan, so forth. So I know you're on the council and you voted for this, but these concerns seem pretty significant to me, and I didn't hear a lot of those raised in the conversation. It seemed like we approved $25 million pretty quickly. Have you talked with people who are contrary on this project at all and heard from them?
So we actually had a great conversation at that board meeting. Councilwoman Brayer brought up the science behind how the turf is manufactured and sure. how it could be a negative impact on the environment. And the head of our parks department actually spoke to that. So the turf that we're going with is more environmentally friendly. It is heat resistant. So, and I know that people have this for their dogs too, right? So their dogs can walk around on the AstroTurf and it not burn their paws. So a similar manufacturing process from what I'm being told on that side of it. And the idea of having turf over the regular sod is we have so many of those pop-up rain showers. And the most important part is that the people who visit our community are able to get their tournaments in. So with the AstroTurf, after the rain shower is gone, they can get back out on the field and they can continue to play. And there's also less downtime between the games
sure.
because the fields don't have to be prepped as much. So those tournaments, you can actually have more games at one location. Is what I was told as far as...
Oh, no, I agree. I agree with all of that. I'm just saying the people who are critical of this choice are saying we can still get the tournaments in. We can still take care of the kids. And even with, you know, the questions about the heat or the PFAS or anything like that, still turf carries, you know, risks. Injury level is higher on turf because of the nature of the thing. And all I'm asking is it didn't seem like that slice of contrary thinking had been represented in the meeting, the ones who really say, we don't actually need it for this price tag. We can do something that's effectively the same by improving those. Because the fields need improving. Nobody argues that. They're terrible fields. The question is, can we get the end result of better fields without having to invest $25 million? That was the question. And I just, I hadn't
right.
heard
and
that.
I think that's
Go ahead.
A good question. Absolutely think that's a good question. You also have to look at who we're competing with. So there are other communities on the Gulf Coast who have similar ballparks. This one would really set ours apart. So the idea is ours is prettier, ours is better. We're on the beach. We're a 20-minute drive from Pensacola Beach. So all of these things would add into bringing in more games and being a superior place to play compared to the surrounding areas.
Well, I look forward to the conversation. Is that going to be on Thursday? Is that on the agenda for Thursday?
I don't know if that one is or not. I think there were still some details that they were trying to work out that okay. I will absolutely check.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking forward to the agenda because there's a lot of stuff the TDC spent, what, like $36 million or recommended. So lots of things
it.
That could.
Yeah,
it was a big spend day. $12 million yeah. an hour, not too bad. Ashley Hofberger, she yep. is the commissioner for District 4. Ashley, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for answering my questions and, you know, responding to people and being, you know, open to some alternatives, especially with that sign. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, and you have a great day.